Well, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Yesterday we were trying to put together some things so that you could understand where we are in God's economy and the things that God has allowed to come across our path. We've all walked in the darkness. But today God is revealing the light, and that light is illuminating another path for us and an understanding of who we are in God. That's why in the beginning God starts the whole story with himself. In the beginning God, that's how it begins. And God is self-existent, and you remember that Jesus Christ said, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm also the end. Which means that God has determined that you and I should understand that all of humanity, whoever they are, whatever country they may live in, whatever language they may speak, whatever is the color of their skin, it means that in the end, they are going to be as they were in the beginning. As we are in the beginning, so shall we be in the end. Can you understand that? What does that mean? There's no lost people on this earth. There's no lost people. Because as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end of time. Everything that came out of God is a part of God. That means that the earth that we live on today, it came out of God. He created it out of himself. Don't let anybody fool you and tell you that God created everything out of nothing, because it's not true. Everything God created was out of himself. So the earth is a part of God. The sun, the moon, and the stars, the mountains, the hills, the water, the rivers, everything is a part of God. But so are you. You say this body was made from the dust. Yes. Where did the dust come from? It came out of God. Therefore, it must have been spirit in the beginning. Just as the earth must have been spirit in the beginning. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, it says there that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That was a spiritual creation. And that creation is absolutely complete. God finished it. And it is still complete in the heavenly realm. It's still complete. And that can never change. Whatever was created in spirit cannot change. It doesn't matter if 1,000 years go by or 1,000,000 years, it doesn't matter. Because what is created in spirit is eternal. And you are created in spirit, therefore you are eternal. You understand this?
Yes.
Not only are you eternal, but if I was to ask you today, what are you? You would probably say, I am flesh and blood. But I've got news for you. You're not really flesh and blood at all if you understood the truth. You are spirit and spirit. Or if you like, Perhaps more realistically, you are spirit and life, because the life is in the spirit anyway. So these are the things that God has made real to us. When God created the first man, that was Christ Jesus. He came from God, and he was spirit and remains spirit today. You were created not for this world. You were actually created for another world.
Amen.
And that world is the world of spirit. You say, where is it? Well, if you just reach out there, you probably got your hand already in the world of spirit. It's right here. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to go up in some rocket up into space. No, it's right here now. That's the world of spirit. But you can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't feel it. You can't smell it. And you can't hear it. And yet it's all around us. And if you understood it correctly, you would know that that's the world God created you to live in.
Amen.
The first three chapters in the book of Genesis are all written in a kind of parabolic language. So there you have a tree of life. But we know that there was no literal tree of life. It says there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was no literal tree of the knowledge of good and evil there either.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
You see? It's parabolic language.
That's right.
Yeah. Because there was no other way that God could help us to understand. He couldn't talk about something that we can't see or know or understand. So he tells us that there was a tree in the center of the garden, which was the tree of life, but there was also a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The interesting thing about that tree is that it was not sickness or a disease that brought death into this world. You understand? It wasn't a sickness or some kind of crazy disease that brought death into the world. It was a knowledge. And that knowledge is the knowledge of good and evil. And every person on this earth believes in good and evil. But it doesn't exist in God. But we believe it. Why? Because of what we see with our eyes. But I said to you, God's world is invisible to us. So we are not looking into God's world, we are looking into our world. The serpent said to the woman in the Garden of Eden, if you eat the fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, first of all, you will not die. That's what the serpent said. But secondly, not only would you not die, but your eyes will be opened to see another world. So when that woman took the fruit of that tree and she ate it, her eyes were opened. What did she see? She saw this world we're living in today. And she thought that was very exciting. So she went to Adam and gave him the fruit and said, I want you to eat this with me because my eyes have been opened. I can just imagine that woman might have wished she had never touched that fruit and never knew this world. Why? Because they lived in the Garden of Eden. And what is the Garden of Eden? It's a place where they had to do nothing. Adam never raised a sweat in trying to provide for himself food and so on. Why? Because everything was supplied in the Garden of Eden. Absolutely everything. There was actually a river that had source in the Garden of Eden and flowed out in four streams to the whole world, supplying it with water. So there was absolutely nothing that Adam needed. And of course, when the woman was introduced there, at that time she was in the same garden. Everything was supplied. Do you understand that this, again, is a parable? Yeah. Why? Because God intended that you should live in the Garden of Eden today. Yeah. Come on.
Yes.
That's what he wanted you to do. He said, I will supply all your need according to my riches and glory. Was he telling lies?
No.
Well, why is there people on this earth today starving to death? Why are there people today that are sleeping out under a bridge somewhere or in the back of their car or whatever? Why is it? Because we've not understood the things of the Spirit of God. And that's why yesterday I tried to share. I'm going to share a little more with you this morning, because there's so much here for you to understand. But see, because we don't know the things of the Spirit, then we can't enjoy them. But if the Garden of Eden was the parable of life for us today on the earth, then why aren't we living there? Why are we living in the desert? Did you know that the day is coming when this earth is going to be as the Garden of Eden again?
Amen.
Did you know that?
Amen.
Of course. Because we are supposed to be building the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a great superstructure with high spires on it or whatever. No, sir. The kingdom of God is this earth under the control of the Almighty God.
Amen.
And I want to tell you that when this earth is finished, that is, that God has done everything down here that he wanted to do, the desert will blossom as a rose. And there will be streams in the desert.
Yes.
And this earth will be as the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, sorry. The Garden of Eden. That's what the earth is going to be. And we are the builders of the kingdom that's to bring that about. We haven't done much yet. We're still worrying about the earthquakes and the tsunamis and the wars and all of the other conflicts that there are on the earth today. We're still worrying about it all. But I want to tell you that this earth is going to become as it was in the beginning. Why? Because God created it. And if God created it, it's eternal. Everything that God created is eternal. There's a lot of bits and pieces here today that are not eternal. Your body, as it came from your mother's womb, is not eternal, because you believe it's flesh and blood. Tomorrow we're going to speak more about that, because that's another whole story. But under the deep sleep that God put Adam under, another person was introduced, which was the woman. And the woman represents the soul today on the earth. Not the woman, just the female. I'm not just talking about the females today. I'm talking about the woman that Adam saw as the Lord God brought her to him. Because God never created a woman. If God is looking down upon us today, and he looks at a man, say he's looking at me, what does God see? Does he see a mortal human being? No, sir. Why not? Because God never created one of those. But what does he see when he looks at me? He sees Christ. Amen. Because that's how he created me. Are you hearing this?
Amen.
Every one of you here today was created Christ. You were created spirit. You had a body given to you later. Because you were created spirit in the beginning. But sometime later, there was an egg and a seed that came together in your mother's womb. And that was not a creation. That was a formation. For your heavenly Father brought together the parts of your being when there was nothing in the womb. That's Psalm 139 and verse 15 and 16. If you read it, it will tell you. When there was nothing in the womb, God brought the parts of your being together. What was he doing? He was giving you a body. Your body was never created. You need to understand these things. Your body was never created. It was formed in your mother's womb. That's important. So that the body, because it was formed in your mother's womb, is not eternal in that state. Because you were formed using the seed of man. You understand that? The seed of man. Why? That's why the man is essential before a woman can bring forth a child. She can't produce a child without the man. And the man supplies the seed. So the seed is the seed of man, and that's not eternal. So today, we're faced with all of these things. And that's why the Spirit of God today is wanting to teach you, help you to see yourself as you truly are in God, and to know what is God's program for your life. So, the Spirit of God was your very beginning, and that was Christ. But now, if God is looking at a woman, what does he see? Because this is important. Well, I'm going to tell you. God sees the woman exactly the same as he sees the man. God does not see you as a woman. He sees you as a man. The truth is, he did not create a woman, and he doesn't talk to the woman at all. And in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "And God called them," that's Adam and Eve, he called them Adam, not Adam and Eve, just Adam. So you women, I want you to know that from God's point of view, you are no different to the man. No different. In the old English language, about 100 years ago, maybe a little more, the woman was called the man with the womb. Are you hearing this? This is in England. The woman was called the man with the womb. Of course, that was shortened after a while, and she became known as the womb man. And today, she is known as a woman, a womb man. So that's our language. They knew, obviously, what many people don't know today. And most women do not understand. And I want you to know today, because the woman has been put down in this world almost in every country. Well, I think in every country. And I've ministered quite a lot in Africa, and in there you can see the big African man walking down the street, you know, and behind him about 12 paces back is his wife. And she's loaded up with a couple of babies and who knows what not on her head, and she's struggling along there. He's just walking. See, this is woman. Well, what about the church? Well, the church says you women have got to obey your husband. You see? So it doesn't matter where you go, you're not going to get a whole lot of help, are you? You're still sort of second class in a way. And I'm trying to even it up for you today. Because I want to tell you, God loves you no less than the man. And as far as God is concerned, he sees you as the man. The same. Sees you the same. The only difference between a woman and a man is a physical difference. That's all. Spiritually, you are identical. Spiritually. So these things are important. And I know I see a smile on the face of some of the women when I tell them this. Because it is true, and I want you to know this. And I want you husbands to listen to this. Because don't follow the trend of humanity, which says that when you get a wife, you beat her up the first day you get her so that she knows that if she plays up, she's going to be in trouble. I don't think so. The Bible tells me that a man is to love his wife. And when you, as a Christian, understand that your wife is no different in the sight of God than you are yourself, then you are equal. I'm going to go back over yesterday's little bit, Genesis 1 verse 27, because this is where the woman really is. This is the reality of the woman. In Genesis 1:27, it says, "And God blessed them." God blessed them. But who did he bless? It says, when God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, he said, male and female created he him, not them. We are not talking about two separate people. You notice this? He's not talking about two separate people. He's talking about spirit. And I want to tell you, there are not two spirits in the world. There's only one. In this whole universe, there's only one spirit. So if we are all spirit, we must be absolutely identical. Genesis 1:27 tells us that your spiritual being is male and female, functioning together as one. Have you got a hold of that?
Yes.
Because this is very important. Nowhere in the Bible will you read about a male spirit or a female spirit. You will only read about spirit, that's all. And spirit is male and female. As a matter of fact, God is spirit. And God is male and female. So you're in good company. If God is male and female, and we are male and female, then I told you we were in the likeness and the image of God. That's what we are. So this is important. And it's probably just a bit less than 2 years since Father opened this up to me, so that I had never heard anybody talk about male and female. Everybody seemed to shy away from that because they weren't quite sure about it. But I saw it there when God opened my eyes to see it, and I hope you do today. Spirit is male and female, but you cannot divide the spirit. It's impossible. Therefore, where did the woman come from? Because you couldn't take it out of Adam, because Adam was male and female. So you couldn't take it out of him because he was spirit. If you could divide spirit, you could divide God. But you cannot divide God, because the male and female are one, functioning together as one. So this is important. As a matter of fact, if you want to go a little bit further, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and verse 2, it says, and the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom on the earth. Are the two separate kingdoms? Not really. But the kingdom in the heavens was the spiritual kingdom that God the Father, he brought into existence in the beginning. But see, here was the problem. God has a son. So normally, his father is a king, of course. And now normally, when the father dies, the son takes over the authority of the kingship. But see, in this case, Jesus Christ, his father, is not going to die. He's eternal. So he's never going to become king and have his own kingdom. So God said to him, I'll tell you what to do. You can build your own kingdom. You can make that kingdom. And when you make that kingdom, all I'm asking is, use the blueprint of my kingdom, which is already made. And Christ said, Father, that's exactly what I'll do. So he took the blueprint of the kingdom of God, which is in the spirit realm, complete, and he built the kingdom of this earth. That's John 1, chapter 1. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Nothing. So he is responsible for this earth. But this earth was like the Garden of Eden in the beginning. This is just raising another point, which is very, very important for us. It means that you and I have a responsibility on this earth. Your responsibility is that we are to build the kingdom of God on the earth. That is, that we are to restore this earth to its original glory. That's our responsibility. We haven't thought about that yet, have we? Because we haven't started yet. We haven't started to restore this earth yet. And why bother starting to restore it until there's a change in society on this earth? Because we've got the majority of people on this earth that are hell-bent on trying to destroy the earth. I mean, we've got bigger and better bombs today. They're not making bullets that you can just kill one man. They're making bombs now that can wipe out entire cities, and even more than that. So to restore this earth has to begin with the restoration of mankind. Did you hear that?
Amen.
It must begin with the restoration of mankind. Now, this is very important, because we're living in the year 2013. That is 2013 years since Jesus Christ came into this world. 2013 years in which we have had the gospel of the grace of God, who says that he loves everybody, and that all mankind is part of the redemption that God brought into this world. What has happened? How many people today really know and understand and live out of the Christ of their true identity? How many people? I mean, how many people here today are living out of your true identity, out of Christ? We talk about it. We tell the people out there, I'm a Christian. Christ dwells in me. And they just look at you funny and say, yeah, that's nice. What is happening? Nothing.
That's right. Amen.
Why isn't the world turning to God? Because it has not yet seen any evidence that God exists. Come on.
Yes. Yes.
The earth hasn't seen any real evidence that God exists, let alone on the earth. Why? Because we today are not doing what God wanted us to do. If we were doing what God wanted us to do, we would be building the kingdom today. John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. And this is a man called Nicodemus who comes to Jesus at night time because he didn't want anybody to know he was there. And it says here, verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Master, we know that you're a teacher that has come from God. Now, how in the world did Nicodemus know that Jesus came from God? Maybe he had a big gold cross, you know, around his neck on a chain. Do you think so? I don't think so. Well, maybe he was wearing, you know, one of those collars that go on back to front, you know. How did he know that this man came from God? Tell me. Because he knew what he had seen him do. He had seen him raise the dead. He'd probably seen him heal the sick and so on and so on. So he said, we know that you've come from God. Say, tell me today, how many people know that you came from God? Hello. You're hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
And I'm included in this. I'm not standing here saying that I've got it all and you haven't. I'm saying we have not done what God wanted us to do. We have no verifiable proof that we came from God. But Jesus Christ did. He's out in the boat there and the storm comes and the disciples are just about ready to commit suicide because they said, we're all going to die here. And Jesus just put up his hand and said to the storm, stop. And the storm stopped. If ever there was a place on the globe where there is a need for somebody that could do that, it's here in the United States. I saw on television Oklahoma just what a few weeks ago when that thing came through there. Somebody, we should have been able to stop that. I mean we, I'm included. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
This is what's wrong today. We are Christians and all we're interested in is going to heaven when we die. God help us. I mean, that's not even a rational thought. God never told anybody they were going to go to heaven after they die or when they die. That's not the truth. Heaven is not for us anyway. Psalm 115 and verse 16 tells me, God says the heavens belong to God. They belong to the Lord. But the earth he has given to the children of men. I want to tell you, beloved, why in the world would Christians want to go to heaven? There's nothing to do up there. Except to learn to play a harp or whatever it is you play up there. Why do we want to go to heaven? Here's where the work is to be done, beloved. We are to build the kingdom on this earth. And the deserts are to blossom as a rose. And there will be streams in the desert. And there will be no fighting. There'll be no squabbles between anybody. This earth is going to be as the Garden of Eden, but with a lot of people in it. So this is important. And it's not until you and I have begun to express our true identity or live out of our true identity that the world out there is going to take any notice of anybody. That's what it's all about. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth. And what did he do? He went about doing good, the Bible says, and destroying the works of the enemy. How much of that have we been doing? You see? This is our, to be our occupation. This is to be our life. This is why God put us on this earth. But we haven't done it. As I say, most Christians on the earth today, all they're waiting for is to die so they can go to heaven. Live forever up there, walking on streets of gold and all those other things that are supposed to be there. Beloved, this is serious business.
Amen.
To understand that God put us on this planet to restore it to its original condition. It's not getting better. I'm old enough to have lived in a world which is very different to the world we're living in today. I mean, we talk about many things, my wife and I, about the old times. But see, back in the 1930s, we never ever heard of breast cancer. Never heard of it. I don't know, maybe there was odd cases in the world somewhere, but we never heard of it. And yet today, almost every woman is talking about it, if not they've been experienced it. And to the point now where many women, they want to have a double mastectomy in order to cut out any chance of having this cancer thing. Crazy. This is a different world. In my day, in our early years, we never locked our house if we went out. We never bothered to lock the house. Why? No. Nobody ever seemed to come around and want to steal anything. You could leave your car parked out the front with a key in it, but we didn't have keys in those days. We just had a little switch so anybody could jump in and drive it. But they wouldn't do that. There was something about that day, and we weren't perfect. I'm not saying we were perfect, but it was a very different world. Young people, they would always honor somebody a little older, like an adult. And a man would always, or a lad would always stand up if there was a woman on a bus or train or a tram or something. What's happened to our world? Today, our young people have gone crazy. We have a drug problem in Australia. You have one here too. And all of these drugs that are coming out now, and they're manufacturing them all the time, making them different kinds of stuff, whatever it is, to cause different kinds of corruption in your mind and your head. This world is getting worse and worse and worse. And I was just reading an account of the president of one of the European countries there. And he said, because he happens to be a Muslim, he says that the savior of the Muslim faith is coming. He's called the Mahdi. And he's supposed to live under a well behind a mosque in Iran. He's supposed to be there. They tell me, according to this broadcast, that if you went there for 40 consecutive weeks, like a visit every week for 40 weeks, you could probably see the Madai there. But he's coming back. But he said, this is the leader of Iran. He said, the savior of the Islamic people cannot come until there is complete chaos on this earth.